Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Across the country, students put down their books today, and as CBS's Donya Backus reports,
and walked out of class to call for an end to gun violence. Students at Trinity Episcopal School in Charlotte, North Carolina, expressed their fears.
I should not have to leave my home each morning wondering if I'll get to return to it. I should not have to say I love you goodbye to my parents before leaving for school, wondering if I'll ever see them again.
Donya Backus, CBS News, Los Angeles.
At least five people have died and five are injured after a tornado hit southeastern Missouri early this morning. Dozens of structures have been damaged or destroyed. This Bollinger County man says,
"Seems like all the trees fell on my property, crushed my mowers, crushed both of my trucks."
A National Weather Service meteorologist says the tornado with a preliminary rating of EF2 was on the ground for roughly 15 minutes for an estimated 15 to 20 miles. After pleading not guilty to falsifying business records related to hush money payments, former President Trump took aim at the Manhattan District Attorney and the judge's family during a Mar-a-Lago rally last night. The White House hasn't commented on Trump's legal troubles, but at today's White House press briefing, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked to speak to criticism or attacks on the judiciary and the judicial system.
We condemn any type of attacks on any judge or our judicial system that we have seen over the last 2 years in particular, as the president has been in office.
A spokesman says former Vice President Mike Pence won't appeal a judge's order compelling him to testify in the Justice Department's investigation into efforts by Donald Trump and his allies to overturn the results of the 2020 election. It sets up a possible grand jury appearance by Pence in the coming weeks. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
Even though the special counsel can't ask about especially the legislative efforts by Vice President Pence on January 6th, he certainly will want to probe into conversations he may have had with Donald Trump before the events and after the events.
California's water woes may be improving. CBS's Linda Kenyon has the latest.
A report from the California Department of Resources shows two of the state's largest reservoirs in Shasta and Oroville are now nearing capacity, while the state's fifth largest, San Luis, is already at capacity. Other reservoirs in the state that are rebounding include the one in Don Pedro, while McClure and Sonoma are not far behind.
The EPA tightens mercury emissions limits at coal power plants. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Judge Janet Protasiewicz will become Wisconsin's newest state Supreme Court justice after handily defeating former Justice Dan Kelly, 55-45%. A bad batch of drugs may have come into Milwaukee County after 17 suspected overdose deaths, which have been reported since Saturday. The medical examiner is still determining which substances were used by the victims, but Milwaukee County's chief health policy advisor, Dr. Ben Weston, says it's likely fentanyl was a major factor. The synthetic opioid is often mixed with street drugs, including heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, and depressants. Anyone can stop at a Milwaukee fire station or truck and take home a Narcan Hope Kit for free. Those include Narcan, which reverses the effects of opioid overdoses, a rescue breathing pocket mask, and test strips to determine if the substance contains fentanyl. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. The email box full of kookery. And look, I love my my conservative list. I'm not going to say conservative. I've got to stop that. I love my Trump cultist listeners who feel the need in this moment to take very firm stances of this is a witch hunt. They're persecuting poor Donald. And all of the, of course, the verbiage that I cannot say on the radio, FCC rules. I could just hit a bleep button multiple times. That but what fun would that be? But they got their point across. Their guy is being persecuted. And, you know, my response back was, we haven't seen all the evidence yet. He'll have his day in court. That's what's great about this country. That's what I talked about yesterday on the show, how incredible our country is in that we can hold the highest office accountable and everyone has their day in court. And this president will have that as well. That not enough for the cult crowd. And again, it's every one of the right-wing talking points. And it got to be such a point today that I actually stopped reading email about an hour in, just going, it's all the same. And I got to wonder if it's the same guy with 100 different email addresses, just copying and pasting nonsense. Because it's that kind of, that uniformity, that lockstep thinking that you get on the right, that look, understand. You know they heard it from some right-wing bloviator. You know the F channel and all of the outrage candy mouthpieces. You know that this is what they're feeding them. So of course they're going to regurgitate it back in defense of the Donald. And the reality is, look, if he's guilty, he should be held accountable. That's something universally across the board, red, blue, green, yellow, orange, purple, I don't care where you are. That's something we should all as a nation demand, not want. We should demand equal treatment under the law, that everyone is accountable for their actions. Now, what I find interesting is I'm not seeing a lot of Democrats coming out and cheering this case. I see some on the far left going, we got him. I'm not there. And I don't see a lot of Republicans. The usual crowd, clearly the House Freedom Kook Caucus, they cheerleading, Marjorie Trainwreck and the rest of the cabal, out there, because they understand it's about money. They're going to raise tons of it, and they're going to get the attention fix that they need. But, the Mitch McConnells of the world, nothing. nothing from the mainstream Republicans at all. And this is one of those moments where you look at this and you go, I have questions. I hope they'll be answered. I'm, again, not one of the people on the bandwagon going, we got him, because I don't know. I don't know the legal framework. I've been told by some legal people that I reach out to, that I view as legal experts, saying, don't know. What we do know, we do know there was hush money paid. There was money paid. Some people went to jail over it, Michael Cohen. And it all comes back to the reality that during the campaign season, they were practicing this catch and kill kind of endeavor. And what that means is, during any one of these media cycles, during any time, you know, someone's in the news, these news organizations are going to go and try and find people who've got stuff. They want the big headline. They need the clickbait. They need to make the money. So if you can get, you know, one of these tabloids or one of these newspapers to pay you for your story, that's going to be valuable. You got a story to tell, going to be valuable. Stormy Daniels had a story to tell and had told it before, but somebody was offering her money. So how this works out, as I'm understanding this, same thing with the doorman, same thing with the Playboy bunny that evidently he got pregnant and had an illegitimate child. Maybe this all comes out. That's what we're expecting. But what they did in this case is they found these people who were going to sell their stories, and they were going to be the highest bidder. So they, you know, just bought. It's not that, you know, these people tried to extort them. It's that they were like, hey, we'll buy your story. We'll take your story, you know, through this David Pecker's group, and we'll just kill it. It will never see the light of day. It'll never be published. So you got your money. You signed the form saying, yep, exclusive rights to my story. And then it just dies. It never sees the light of day. So everyone's happy. The person who has the story gets money. Stormy Daniels gets $130,000. This McDougal woman gets $150,000. The doorman gets $30,000. Everybody's happy. The stories were taken. The stories were killed. What's at stake here is not Trump having an affair with a porn star. Don't care about that. That's not the issue. Could care less about his sex life, just like I could care less about Bill Clinton's sex life. This here is about the intention. What was he covering up? Now, the argument from Trump world and the right as well, he just didn't want his wife to find out, which I got to call BS on. Because everyone knows that, you know, he's got a history of being something of a philanderer. And if you remember, you know, just before this, you kind of had that Access Hollywood tape where he didn't do himself any favors. You know, talking about, you know, I move on him like a you-know-what, and I grab him by the you-know-where. And, you know, when you're rich and famous, they let you do anything. I just kiss them all over because you could do that when you're rich and famous. You know, that stuff. And the thought process of, well, we were just keeping it from, you know, Melania being nonsense. Nonsense. So what could it be? Well, it could be what I understand they're going to try and prove is that the campaign knew this was going to be harmful and they had to cover it up so it wouldn't be another bit of shady news. Wouldn't, you know, make people go, this guy's a bad guy, I can't vote for him. Maybe I stay home, maybe I vote in a different direction. That's the argument. All of the other stuff, lose it. Lose all of the noise, because we're going to hear a lot about Stormy Daniels. They're going to turn this into a Stormy Daniels thing. And, you know, her, and she's evil, and, you know, she's a porn star. You can't trust them. So back to what's important. You know, there are laws in the books for falsifying records. This is one of those moments. And I find it interesting that the right-wing outrage machine has taken on to this, well, they were just protecting poor Melania. Nonsense. Now, what we can see, and look, I've got questions about this case. I don't know that it's overly strong. From people that I trust, they tell me it's going to be a heavy lift. because there's some interesting legal maneuvering. There's some interesting gymnastics that they're going to have to do to tie all this together. But what we do know is Trump was charged with 34 felony charges of falsifying business records. Now, the prosecution has, I think, a little over a month to go, here's our evidence. And for the defense to go, we're going to rip it apart and pursue a dismissal. And I think they've got like 45 days to pursue a dismissal. Now, the judge will decide. I've had some people who have been former prosecutors have said, don't be surprised if it gets thrown out. That would be a horrible thing for Alvin Bragg. And look, this would be a bad thing for the other cases, because I think the other cases look to be much stronger. But if the case is allowed to go forward, there will be a trial. We know his next court appearance sometime in December. The trial dates are set sometime in January, about a month before the Iowa caucus. Could be very interesting, because understand the rape allegation trial is set to begin, I guess, you know, right now, I guess. So I'm looking at the next year. Potentially, Trump could be in court in four or five different places. Now you go, well, you know, does this play to his favor? Does this hurt him? I don't know. You know, in 2015, I thought that a lot of the Access Hollywood stuff, a lot of the stuff about his business practices, a lot of that stuff would have taken him down. Understand, we were a much different country in 2015. He was talking to people in a way that they hadn't been talked to before. We're going to reshore manufacturing. We're going to build back at the middle class. We're going to bring those jobs back. So they were willing to overlook a lot of imperfections. They were willing to allow him to get away with a lot of stuff. And look, he's still really high in the Republican poll, primary polling. I don't think he can win a general because he's not expanding the base. There isn't a base out there to expand. He can only lose as these cases come online, as we find out more and more of the criming that he did. And I had someone, you know, say to me today, well, you know, what do you expect him to do? And I go, not crime. It's that simple. Don't do the crime. How hard is that to understand? We teach our children that. There will be consequences for bad behavior. This is a guy who's never been held to account. Never. And I had someone email me say, do you, I think he's going to cop a plea. Never. Never in a million years do I believe Donald Trump has it in him to admit that he was wrong. Because to cop a plea, you've got to go, okay, I did what you said I did. I've got to take responsibility. I don't ever see that happening because there's no one could point to a moment in his business life, in his life, where he's done that. Where he said, yep, that was my fault. I take responsibility. So I don't see him ever taking a plea. And I've had some people, well, you know, what if he's facing a lot of jail time? I still don't see it. I don't see it. That said, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon saying this is the case. I'm hoping. We'll see. I think the other ones, again, much more strong. Much more stuff there. You know, a president, you know, strong-arming a Secretary of State to find votes. You know, my 10th Amendment constitutionalist conservative friends, you should be outraged. Because I know you would be if it was Joe Biden who tried it. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I'm guardedly optimistic that justice will prevail. But that's why we have the trials, and that's why we're going to have a lot to talk about, because, you know, this is it. This has sucked all the oxygen out of the air, sadly, because there's so many things that we need to get to. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Janice, listening on our newest affiliate, KTRC AM 1260, 103.7 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thanks for tuning in, Janice. Sent me an email. Said, Rick, heard you on KTRC this evening and loved what I heard. Thank you. Every one of my friends are cheering and celebrating we finally got Donald Trump. You're the first person I've heard talk rationally about the case, and boy, were you spot on when you said it was a fundraiser's gold mine. My email box has been overflowing with requests for donations. I saw this and wanted your opinion. So she sends me this email, and I'm reading through it, and you know, I'm going, okay, it's standard stuff. But there was a twist at the end. So I'm going to read it, and we'll get to this. Here's what the email she sent said. Dear Patriot, in order to put an end to the injustice perpetrated by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's recent indictment of our beloved leader, MAGA Patriots can now donate here to help protect our beautiful President Trump. The best president this country has ever had is under attack by a politically motivated witch hunt that you can end now by clicking this link and this link. If you want to save our brave American hero from the deep state and the Soros-backed elite East Coast lawmakers who are driving this criminalization of our politics, then please go here and here and donate everything right now so we can save our president. End the woke liberal left tyranny. Give all the money you have immediately before it's too late. And I read that, I'm going, all right, seems about right. And then I clicked on the link, the hyperlink in the story, and it's an Onion story. And I'm going, you remember when the Onion stories were satirical? Do you remember when you would read an Onion story and go, oh, that's a joke? No one would ever write something like that. Remember that? I probably got 50 emails really close to that. Every other line, you know, donate here. So have we jumped the shark that completely? That it really is just all about the money? And the answer, yeah. Yeah, it is. I want to get to Darren's email. Darren listens on WAUK 540 in Milwaukee. He asked, did I see the Chris Rock shooting? He killed the Bud Light cans. He said, what kind of kook is he? And I said, well, a rich one with lots of guns who I got to, before we get into why, you know, it's one of these things where you look at someone like Kid Rock and you go, I wonder what kind of freak he is. I wonder what the groupies would be saying about him. I'll bet it's some freaky stuff. I bet, you know, in general, people are freaky. And as, you know, as I've said before, you know, let your freak flag fly if you have to. Just do it on your own. You know, the crazy unleashed. So the story here is Kid Rock and a bunch of right wingers, a bunch of the, you know, the, I'm not even going to name them, a bunch of the, you know, the mouthpieces, the pro-Trump people are very angry at Bud Light because evidently Anheuser-Busch made a six pack of Bud Light with like a rainbow on it and the face of this transgender woman and activist, Dylan Mulvaney, and sent it to her, you know, to celebrate 365 days of girlhood. Now, you know, okay, you could argue whether that's smart or not. It's a business decision. I don't care. Clearly, though, Anheuser-Busch has done the marketing. They've done the demographics. They've done the studies and think that this is going to make them more money, that more people are going to say, oh, they're a more tolerant company. We're going to spend more money on Bud Light. Now, I find it interesting that the right is losing their mind. We're going to boycott it. We're going to, I'm never drinking it. And they're dumping it down the drain and all of this stuff. And I'm looking at this going, you know, how crazy are these people? Who cares if Bud Light comes out with a six pack to give this transgender woman? I don't care. It doesn't change any way of thinking whatsoever. Good on them, good on her, good on everybody over there. When did we become this country that's so worried about everyone else? And the truth is we became this country when it was about the money. Because there's tons of money in these areas. We're going to have the woke against the anti-woke. And you've got to pick your camp and fight against each other. And of course, send money. Send lots of money. So that we can keep stoking this anger and never, never actually deal with the real problems we have. For instance, I never knew the transgender thing was an issue when I was younger. Never knew. In fact, as one transgender friend said, I guarantee in your lifetime you were in a bathroom with someone who was transgender. Do you care? No, they didn't bother me. I didn't bother them. Life went on. But it happened. And it happened a lot. There were transgender people back then. You now see that Kansas has passed probably one of the most outrageous bathroom restriction bills in the country and basically they've banned transgender people from changing their name or their gender on their driver's license. So I'm going, wait a second. If I want to change my name and I'm not transgender, I can do that. But if I claim I'm going to be transgender, I can't? What are you talking about, Kansas? What's the matter with Kansas? I think the Republican, look, they've got super majority, so the governor there can't stop it. And this is probably going to go, this is going to go through. And, you know, the thing that gets me is what they define sex as what you were, assigned at birth. Now, look, you know, how I feel about this personally doesn't really matter. Honestly, it doesn't. I'm a believer in people following their life, liberty, their pursuit of happiness. But to have a government, to have people who are pushing this kind of hatred, look, I don't care what you do as long as you're doing it in the confines of your four walls with consenting adults, that's your business. But to legally exclude, I'm struggling with it. Now you have Arkansas. And this is my favorite. I got to get to this quick because Arkansas now has passed a law that would make it a misdemeanor for someone who's transgender to use a bathroom. But there they got a little pushback, so they changed it a little bit, and they said that it would be a misdemeanor for using the bathroom or changing room associated with their identities if cisgender minors were present. And here's the other part. And they went for the purposes of arousing and gratifying a sexual desire. I'm going, wait a second. Don't we already have those laws? Aren't those laws already on the books? Yes, they are. And this is the crazy part of all this. We had to go through now Arkansas, one of the poorest states in the country with high poverty rates, all kinds of problems. But this is the important thing. And here's my problem. Again, there are so many things we need to be doing to help working people. There are so many things that we need to be rebuilding, investing in. There are so many things our state legislatures and our federal government could, should, and must be doing that we're not, because we're so concerned about what's under the dress. And again, I don't care what's under the dress. I don't care. Put your freak on. Be as big a freak show as you want to be. Don't care. Don't care. When do we become the society again that worries about how are we going to put food on the table for our children? How are we going to take care of our families and let other people decide how they're going to take care of theirs? I don't think that's radical. In fact, I think it's kind of conservative. Heaven forbid, limited government, not telling people what to do, staying out of people's lives, allowing people to pursue their destiny and their liberty. Heaven.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. As the final funeral was held for the victims of the last week's Covenant school shooting in Nashville, students across the nation walked out of their classes to demand action against gun violence. This teen left her class in Reno, Nevada.
The first time ever I felt unsafe in my school, and I didn't go. It was the first period of the day. I went home after that. I cried on my way home.
Destruction in the Glen Allen, Missouri area after a tornado kills at least five people. This resident saying,
sound like a freight train coming through. It hit within 2 minutes, it hit and was gone.
Former Vice President Mike Pence will not appeal an order to testify in the DOJ's Trump probe. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The former vice president was in direct contact with former President Trump. And this investigation is focusing on Trump and efforts he took to overturn the election.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Dan Kelly is going down swinging even after losing the Wisconsin Supreme Court race by a wide margin. In an unusual concession speech, he called Janet Protasiewicz a serial liar.
I wish that in a circumstance like this, I would be able to concede to a worthy opponent. But I do not have a worthy opponent to which I can concede.
Wisconsin's High Court will have a liberal majority for the first time in 15 years. The mayors of Madison, Green Bay, and Racine all won re-election. Voters in Mount Pleasant re-elected all of their village board members in what amounted to a referendum on embattled manufacturer Foxconn. In sports, the Bucks beat Washington last night. The Brewers and Mets play today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The-
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, it looks like if the case doesn't get thrown out against Trump, which I'm not sure, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe my next guest has got some thoughts on it, but we do know December 4th is the next court date in Manhattan, and possibly the judge, I guess, set trial date for sometime in January, right in time for the February Iowa caucus. So, interesting dates lining up. Something to mark the calendar over. But here to share some thoughts on the validity of this case. Does it go anywhere? Did we get him? Has he been gotten? That's why I've asked Christopher Ahn to come talk with us. Chris is a syndicated radio host and the host of the Aggressive Progressive podcast. You can also check out his website, ChristopherHahn.com. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So has he been gotten? Is he gotten?
Not gotten, but I don't think this helps him. I mean, I think this ends after a series of appeals in 2026 with him paying like $150,000 fine or something stupid like that. He clearly did what he's being accused of, and he did it for political purposes. And it's funny, his miserly ways is what in the end will get him, because he said to Michael Cohen, hold off paying her until after the election, because if I lose, it won't matter. Right. So that's clear. That's, to me, if that could be corroborated, because I wouldn't just hang my hat on Michael Cohen. But if that could be corroborated by somebody else.
Yeah. If there's a tape, you know, maybe
he's gone. I mean, he loses this case. It's intent. It's clear intent. The intent is the part that's hard to. There is no debating whether or not he made a payment to Stormy Daniels. There's no debating whether or not Michael Cohen paid him back. There's checks, there's receipts. But did he do this for political purposes? Yes, he did, based on that statement. So he's guilty of this, and he will lose. He won't spend a second in jail. He will be fined. He will appeal the fine, because he keeps asking people who can't afford to give him $5 a week to give him $5 a week, and they will fund his legal defense. And even though this is a case that he could settle probably tomorrow for a $200,000 fine, he will settle it. He will be convicted of it, and he will appeal it to the New York State Court of Appeals, where he will lose, and he will be forced to pay a $150,000 fine.
So you don't see this, as some have said, no, this is going to go in front of the Supreme Court, and they're going to throw this out. You know, you don't see any
of
that.
Why would it go in front of the Supreme Court? It's a state charge, right?
But the technical.
So I get that there's like a federal connection, because it's a federal election, but he did violate New York state law as well, and he's going to get convicted on that. And I think the underlying crime, which was not charged yet, and it might still yet be charged, is a tax fraud crime. Because he may have taken a tax deduction for his payments to Michael Cohen, because he's cheap, right? If the guy just was handing out the money and said, who cares? This wouldn't even be happening.
See, this is where I said from the beginning, how is it he doesn't have bags of, you know, he does the Mafia Don thing. How is it he doesn't have lunch bags full of cash for just these kind of occasions?
It's funny, because he says, well, pay her in cash. And Michael Cohen says, no, 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 no. I don't get that part. I don't trust Michael Cohen. I don't know if you've ever talked to him.
No.
I don't trust the guy.
And that's why I don't think he gets convicted, because I don't trust Michael
Cohen.
Well,
I don't think anybody does. And I think that's why the original decision by Bragg was to not bring this case.
Right.
They must have more. And I would bet it's Alan Weiselberg, who changed lawyers a couple of weeks ago. And when people change lawyers, it usually means they've changed loyalty.
Right.
Donald Trump mentioned him very positively in his speech last night. It was like the only positive thing he said was about Alan Weiselberg. But I don't know. I think that he might have flipped. We'll find out.
We'll see. Because my concern here is that you swing for the first one and you miss. It diminishes all the other ones. And I know you'll probably disagree with this. But, you know, if you're going to go for the guy at the top of the hill, you don't miss. Because I fear it does then make him look like the martyr that the right is trying to make him out to be.
Look, every day that Donald Trump has to talk about how he paid off a porn star and that it was okay, he didn't do anything illegal and he's paying off a porn star, that loses him a vote.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, Democrats don't have to appeal to the religious right. And I don't believe all of them believe in family values and good morality, but some of them do. Some of them that matters on too. And you don't have to lose all of them. You only got to lose some of them. And not even a lot of them. Really, 1, 2, 3%. You're done.
Yeah.
And I think he's already lost them, and he's not getting them back. How does this help him get back the voters he lost in Wisconsin, in Arizona, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania? It doesn't help him. I'm sorry.
No, not there. It doesn't.
Care.
You're right.
I don't care what anybody says about the short-term benefits of this for Donald Trump. He is unelectable at this point. Now, the Republicans are going to nominate him because the people who are running against him are weak. They are minor league ball players, and Donald Trump is a major league ball player, right? These are minor league A-ball, okay? Ron DeSantis is in the single A league. He is not even in the triple A, in my opinion. I know that there's this love affair because the liberal media in this country wants to find a Republican that's normal. Ron DeSantis is not normal, and he's not a good politician. Yeah. And he's not even that smart for a guy who went to Harvard and Yale. Okay? He is a dolt.
Now, this is what I've been saying for a while, though. There aren't those Republicans that people are looking for. They're not there anymore. They've been purged.
Ron DeSantis is about to sign basically a total abortion ban, which may make him unelectable in Florida in 3 years. I'll be honest with you. The issue in these elections, like the election that happened in Wisconsin last night, it wasn't about Donald Trump. It was about choice. It was about a woman's right to choose and the extremism of the Republican Party on that issue and other issues involving the human body, quite frankly. And it's Ron DeSantis is, again, following the Trump playbook of just appealing to that nonsense. But again, I just find it hard to believe that what Donald Trump is going through helps him long term. You know, Republicans are going to fall in line behind him. They have no choice.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But he's dead, in my opinion, politically.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Chris Hahn. Chris is a syndicated radio host and host of the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, you'll find Chris's. Also, check out his website, ChristopherHahn.com. So, you know, this aside, you know, I guess over the summer it's being predicted, nobody knows, that Georgia may come around, that you know, maybe Merrick Garland's going to find it set. Those are the serious ones. That perfect phone call into Georgia going, hey, check the couch cushions, I need some votes. That's a big one to me. And the classified documents thing is huge. Because even to this day, he is still saying he's got the right to do it.
I've been saying that this is like the sorbet. You ever go to a fancy dinner, they give you a little palate cleanser. This is the palate cleanser. This is the fun one, right? He is going to be indicted in Georgia, and I don't think it's going to be this summer. I think it's going to be soon. I thought it could be this week. She's sitting on these indictments. They just impaneled a brand new grand jury in Atlanta. I don't know if this case is going before them or not, but the first week of the month is when they impanel new grand juries there. So he's going to be the subject of a grand jury, and he's going to be indicted there. Jack Smith. You're Rick Smith.
Yeah, that's me.
Your cousin, Jack, is bringing a charge. Look, Mike Pence just said today he's going to testify. All right, I lost in court. I'm not going to appeal it. He wanted to go. Okay, he's going. Now the devil made him do it. He can go. He's not going to make the devil wait. He's not going to make other devils make him do it. He's just going to go do it. That's coming. Now, I don't know if Merrick Garland's going to bring it. Jack Smith is going to get the goods. Merrick Garland's got to grow a pair, and he's got to bring it. And if he doesn't, he's going to hear from guys like you and I a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give him a pass. I'm sorry. I don't think being president should excuse you from being prosecuted. And I think it should be kind of like, like a celebrity who gets a speeding ticket. We should make an example of you for breaking these laws. I mean, Aunt Becky went to jail because she gave a college, $100,000, pretended her daughter was a rower to help her get into USC. And the kid didn't even want to go to college. She didn't need to. She had a $2 million a year business. I wouldn't have gone. It's You know, they made an example out of her. Anybody else that that happened to? Well, a little fine. Slap on the wrist. See you later.
Now, this service. Because this is the important
part. Becky went
part
to jail. She went to jail.
Yeah, she did. And this is the important part of this because, you know, I've been screaming for years. We don't hold presidents accountable for the things that they do. We haven't done it.
Right.
We didn't do it to Reagan. Didn't do it to Bush.
Didn't do it to Clinton. We didn't do it to Clinton.
Didn't do it to any
of
them.
And by the way, Clinton pled guilty. He pled guilty while he was president. I mean, granted, it was the last 24 hours of his presidency, but he pled guilty to avoid charges. And he was disbarred for 5 years and had other things around it when he pled guilty to lying under oath.
Yep. No, and look, yeah, I was saying back then, he shouldn't have been asked the question. It shouldn't have been, I don't care. But the second he was asked under oath, you got to tell the truth.
That's the law.
Is this that moment where we start doing this in the future, or is this a one-off? Because I've got my conservative friends who are saying, this is just the persecution of Donald Trump. We wouldn't do this to anybody else but poor, poor Donald.
Yeah, look, I've been hearing that. If a president breaks the law, they should be prosecuted. Period. We are a nation of men, of law, not laws, not men. And do we believe that or not? And I believe that.
Yeah.
And I believe that he should be prosecuted. And there should be look, first of all, the man led an insurrection against the United States of America. He did it. Him and his people. And they should have been prosecuted for that immediately.
Immediately.
Like, I don't know why this is still dragging out on that end. And it should be done. It should have been done then. He should have been convicted by the Senate. He was the first president in the history of this country to have that many members of his own party vote to convict. He should have been removed or convicted at that point because he was already out of office.
Last question on this I want to get from you. There's talk that the judge may issue a gag order. If you're the prosecution, do you fight that gag order? Because I do.
If I'm the Democratic National Committee, I fight the gag order.
I fight the gag order.
I mean, because, but the, you know, look, he goes on stage at Mar-a-Lago last night after being told by the judge to watch what you say, don't incite violence. He calls out the judge's daughter and the judge's wife and the prosecutor. I'm sorry. If you or I did that, we'd be in jail right now.
I agree.
They would have locked us up till trial. He is.
Yeah, we lost you.
Hold on.
There you go. You're back.
Yeah, it's my. I got to get a new USB cord for this mic. But he cannot be above the law.
Yeah.
No.
I want to get your thoughts on Wisconsin. You know, a big win on the Supreme Court side, but the state Senate seat that's going to give them now supermajority status. Does one offset the other? Because the guy, this is where my mind has been. You know, okay, we won the Supreme Court seat, but you know they can go and yank her out of there. Thoughts?
I mean, are they going to yank her out of there? Then Tony Evers gets to appoint the replacement independently without confirmation.
Right.
So they can yank her if they want, if they think that helps. Yank her. I don't think the voters of Wisconsin, with the new maps that are going to be drawn because they're going to lose the gerrymandered case, are going to be too happy about that. The woman won by 10 points. This was not a close race, right? This was a clear victory in a clear victory in a 50-50 state. And they could try if they want. You know, and I guess that was the guy that was running. That's what he said while he was running. I don't know that I'm hearing that from the leadership in the Republican Party in Wisconsin State Senate. And I don't know, do they have a veto-proof majority in the legislature? You might be more too, in the assembly side or the House, whatever they call it there.
I guess they only have to do it in the Senate. To remove a state official, it only has to be in the Senate. As I understand.
So, yeah, you know, look, my advice to them is you do what you think you think is right. And we'll see how that works out for you.
Yeah,
he can appoint anybody he wants the next minute. The minute she's gone, without any confirmation from the Senate, he gets to appoint. That's my understanding of the law in Wisconsin. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am.
Yeah, I think you're right as well. But last question I've got. So I want to confirm the prediction here. Never going to spend a day in jail.
Never. For any of this.
Okay, sorry, we agree.
For anything he did, he's never going to have any real consequences, but he will be convicted of something.
Does he take a plea? At any point, will he take a plea?
You know, if I was him, I would, particularly in the stuff Jack Smith's going to bring. because the Jack Smith stuff is serious stuff, especially if there's some nuclear secret that he was mishandling at Mar-a-Lago. Maybe he takes a plea so that the people don't even know about that. But I think that I think he should.
Yeah, I see again, no world. That he does.
It kills the grift if he does, because you know he's on the phone. He's you know he's in your email, begging you for money every day,
all day.
Because you know all rich people need your $5.
Yeah, yeah.
All billionaires need $5 from people who work for a living.
Guy's got his name on the side of a plane. He needs your $5.
Yep.
That's a lot of gas money.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think? That plane flies itself?
Yeah, well, we'll see. But, Chris, I appreciate you taking some time for us, sharing your thoughts and expertise. Good stuff.
Anytime, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, our good friend, Chris Hahn. Make sure you check out his website, ChristopherHahn.com. We'll get links out on social media. Also, make sure you check out his podcast, The Aggressive Progressive Podcast. Back after this. Stick around.
Are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1989. That was the day that the United Mine Workers of America called for a strike against the Pittston Coal Company. Negotiation with the miners who work in Virginia, West Virginia, and Kentucky had dragged on for 14 months. The company had canceled health care for retired miners, along with miners with disabilities and widows, and also was not paying previously agreed to payments into a retiree benefit fund. 2,000 miners walked out of the mines and onto the picket lines. The company brought in replacement workers. The union was committed to peaceful protest, but the strike also drew a large number of other miners to the cause who supported the strike in wildcat actions. As many as 40,000 wildcat miners walked the lines in support of the strike. Angered over the use of scab labor, some of these picketers participated in actions like using jack rocks, a line of nails welded together to puncture the tires of company vehicles. In all, 4,000 people were arrested during the strike. The strike stretched on from days to weeks to months. At the time of the strike, current AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka was president of the United Mine Workers. When a newspaper reporter asked him how long the workers could hold out on the strike, he responded, "One day longer than Pittston." Many friends from labor came to Appalachia to support the strike, including famed farm labor activist Cesar Chavez. A nearby campground became known as Camp Solidarity as a base for these friends. Women supporters formed a group called the Daughters of Mother Jones and staged support actions, including a 36-hour sit-in at the Pittston Coal headquarters. The strike ended in February of 1990, with the miners winning some, but not all, of their demands.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So Marianne from Minnesota, listening on KTNF 950 AM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, asks, what's the alternative for the GOP to Donald Trump? She asks, do I see any of them as capable of defeating Trump? And the answer is no. I don't see any of the Republicans capable of beating Trump in the primary. I just don't. This is where I differ maybe a little with Chris and some other people. I think that, you know, no matter what comes out of these trials between now and the primary, I don't think the rabid base, the fives, the people who are wearing the hats still, the people who are still flying the flags from their cars in their houses, wearing the T-shirts, still those people, no matter what comes out, never going to change. And I think they're a large enough block that it doesn't matter who the Republicans put forth, that's going to be the guy. Now, you know, who could be? I don't see anyone. You know, I was looking at some of the top names. You know, they're throwing this Vivek Ramaswamy guy out. A rich guy, you know, young rich guy, good looking rich guy who's got a good line. I don't see him as having a chance. I look at Asa Hutchinson. Nobody knows who he is. DeSantis, I just think is a bad, as Chris said, I think he's just a bad politician. He plays the tough guy, and that shtick only gets you so far. And you know, look, this abortion thing, gonna hurt him. Mike Pence, really? No, Mike Pence. Maybe his wife, maybe mother. Maybe if mother ran, she might have a shot. But I don't think Mike Pence. I don't think Mike Pompeo. I know some friends who think he's the sleeper. I don't think Chris Sununu is going to be the guy. Tim Scott's an interesting possibility. I doubt it. He's got good name recognition. I don't know. Everyone that I know keeps pointing to Nikki Haley, who evidently raised $11 million in the first several weeks of her campaign. Which you go, $11 million. Let's see. That's only 989 million short of what she's going to need. But you know, she's got, you know, people donating to her and helping early on. Do I think she's going to be the nominee? No, I don't think so. Because look, the party is split, especially on what's going on in Ukraine. She seems to be one of the ones who has something of a sane position on it. But you know, half the party's, you know, I got to say, half the party's in Putin's pocket. It appears, you know, these people who are saying, well, we need to be isolationists, we need to do nothing, you know, let Ukraine fall. I'm not there. I'm of the mindset, and this is where I go back to, I'm a Teddy Roosevelt kind of guy. Yeah, you walk softly, carry a big stick. I want our military to be big, strong. I want us to be the biggest, boldest, baddest on the planet, because I trust us more than anybody else. And that's not a lot. Let's not get carried away. But if you could have told me, you know, back in the 80s, you could basically bring the Russian military to its knees for a couple hundred billion dollars, do you think we would have done it? Do you think Reagan would have done it? He would have done it in a heartbeat. And this is where I'm in this weird kind of spot where you go, so by supporting the Ukrainians to do the things that we claim we believe in, fighting for democracy and fighting for freedom and, you know, all this stuff from a Russian dictator. I'm struggling with this because I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, that we have elected officials, people in Congress who are siding with the Russians in this. I don't look, I remember the 1980, you know, hockey team. I remember the national pride that came with beating the Soviet Union in hockey. And look, my mind is still in that same place. I'm still distrustful of the guy who was the head of the KGB. I'm still distrustful of the guy who I believe wants to get the old band back together, and going through Ukraine to start is a good way to get it all back. So for me, and look, I'm not a war guy. Wasn't for going into Iraq, wasn't for Afghanistan either. So, you know what, go get bin Laden, go do what you got to do. But, you know, you don't go into Afghanistan, you learn nothing from history. I am not a war guy, not a pacifist. Now, I've had people accuse me of that, but I'm not a war guy. I'm the Teddy Roosevelt type. Walk softly, carry the big stick, and when you need it, I'm of the Schwarzkopf mind, overwhelming force. The Powell Doctrine, if you will. They hit you with a feather, you hit them with a brick. Make it short, make it quick. But we didn't really do that. And yeah, I'm with some of them. The war does make rich people richer and poor people dead. I agree. Smedley Butler was spot on. But these aren't our people. We're simply giving people the opportunity to defend themselves. And that I'm all in favor of. So is there a Republican that can beat Trump? My short answer is absolutely not. Will he get defeated in the primary? I highly doubt it. I'm not a betting person, but if I were, I'd be betting on Trump to win the primary. Now, in the general, I don't think he has a chance to win in the general, especially as more comes out and more information about all of these different things, and he's fighting battles from every front. I think it's going to be a really heavy lift. And he doesn't have that surprise of, hey, I've got this. I'm going to rebuild stuff. he's got a track record. He's going to have to run on a record. And that record is simple. Cut taxes for the very wealthy and deregulated a lot for corporate America. That's his record. Did he help working people? Did he help all the communities that we went through on our Working Class Heroes radio tour? Did he help any of those, you know, those folks in small town rural America that he said he was going to? The answer is no. You know who's doing that? Joe Biden. And that's got to be something that we talk about early, talk about often. How much Biden is out there talking about our investing in this nation and the jobs that are coming back.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.